back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, we have 8 games left in this absolutely dreadful, dreadful Flyer season.
Yeah. I hate to say this because we're a Flyers podcast, but I'm pretty much checked out for the season at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last night and the night prior were just completely brutal. I didn't even watch any of the games. Especially on, Tuesday? Yeah, the 12th.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. Once again, the Flyers are the exclusive game on ESPN Plus and Hulu.
No, they were on ESPN the Tuesday night. And then last night's game, they were on TNT. So back-to-back, brutal losses, both on national television.
Jesus, I've
a
completely...
tale as old as time. The Flyers getting embarrassed on national TV.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, if you didn't know, they got absolutely trounced on Tuesday night by the Capitals, 9-2. It felt almost like a fever dream, but the Flyers gave up, 8 goals against the Rangers in back-to-back games last season?
Yep.
With Mika Zibanejad putting on an absolute clinic in both those games as well. But, yeah, I mean, 9-2, yikes. And then last night against the Rangers, blanked 4-0. And then they have a back-to-back against Buffalo on Friday and Saturday.
Sunday.
My dates are all messed up here. I thought Easter was on the 24th, but it's this Sunday. Everything's just topsy-turvy nowadays. But, yeah, we're playing Buffalo, then the Toronto. I mean, it's just kind of like... not even crawling to the finish at this point. Like, the Flyers have just been lifeless, and there's been, and again, we can kind of talk about that as the only positives to come out of the past, maybe month of hockey, where we had two more young prospects make their debut with the Flyers. This season, one in Ronnie Attard, and then in Bobby Brink, fresh off his NCAA National Championship with the Denver college hockey team. They beat Minnesota State 5-1, I think, in the National Championship game this past Saturday. Got a feel for Minnesota State. I did watch that game. We'll go a little personal here. Hell of a Saturday, Dave, with you and Brenna. We went to the Phillies opening night, even though it was kind of like evening, 4:05 game at the bank. They honored Bryce Harper for his MVP/MV3 season last year. Got a free T-shirt. Did a little tailgating in the parking lot. Just a great day. Great start to the day at the ballpark. Listened to the beginning part of the Flyers on the way back to the apartment.
Stuck in traffic.
Yeah, we went our separate ways, and then from my night, just went over to another friend's house, watched the Frozen Four championship. It was a good game. I mean, it was 1-1 going into the third period. Denver.
I turned it on. It was 1-0 Michigan State.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, are they going to pull this out? And then Minnesota State. Michigan, Minnesota, close enough. Very different schools, and they would probably get offended that I got them confused.
Yeah.
So I think they're in the same division.
I'm not sure. We looked it up. There's 6 different divisions in college hockey, and it's like so hard to keep track of all of them. I don't know if you can name all of them. I don't think I can.
I mean, I know the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The ECHC.
I think it's the ECAC.
Yeah, that one.
ECAC, NCHC.
Yes.
There might be another N one.
Then there. What are the Ivy League?
Or Hockey East.
Hockey East. Yeah.
Not ECHA. That's club. I don't know, but yeah, we were trying to figure out like how like obviously the Frozen Four isn't like March Madness for basketball where they have 64 teams. There's only I think less than 20 even because they have just it's the regional play-ins and then you get down to the 8 teams and then the Frozen Four and then obviously the national championship. So the Frozen Four tournament is a lot. It's not large scale, but compared to March Madness for women's and men's basketball, it's not as large scale.
Yeah.
Because obviously not every university has Division I ice hockey. But what I was going to say is that I felt bad for Minnesota State because, I mean, they had a hell of a season. And then they obviously made it to the championship. They're still looking to win their first national championship in school history, I believe. And they've only kind of become one of the powers in college hockey in recent years. Maybe even the last two or three at this point, because I never really heard of them being in the mix up until recent years, like I said. So, I mean, they can be proud of the fact that they made it this far. But again, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as they say.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's just good to see different programs naturally like sports does the ebbs and flows of different programs where we saw like five, 6 years ago, it was I was told I pronounced the school's name wrong. Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get one of those.
Quinnipiac, something like that.
I'm gonna have to get one of those pronunciation sheets with the phonetic spelling they give out in press boxes at sporting events for guys' names. But that school with the Q, they were like unreal. Their power play was clicking at like 80% or something like that. Like
they were like the powerhouse for a long time.
Yeah, they were like killing it. And then I don't even know if they made the Frozen Four this time around. I didn't really pay attention to the tournament until it got down to the Frozen Four. Just because, like, it's like a shame that it kind of flies under the radar too, like, it's happening right at the tail end of March Madness basketball, so everyone's kind of invested in that.
I was piggybacking on your point, Matt, where the Frozen Four, it tails at the end of March Madness, and it also happens right typically in a normal, not COVID affected year. This is like the last week of the NHL's regular season.
Yeah.
So like everyone's gearing for those final playoff spots. It's like, oh, hey, Frozen Four.
Yeah. Yep. Help. Like, and also ESPN being obviously the worldwide leader in sports broadcasting and all that jazz. It doesn't help that the games are on like ESPNU and ESPN2. Like,
yeah.
Put them. I mean, the championship game was on ESPN, but.
No, it was on ESPN2.
Was it?
Yeah.
Damn, give your head a shake.
I do have the divisions up. The go six college it. Divisions of the NCAA Division I hockey. You have the Atlantic Hockey Association.
All right.
The Big Ten Conference. The Central Collegiate Hockey Association. Then you have the ECAC Hockey.
All right.
Hockey East Association. And then the National Collegiate Hockey Conference. So the NCHC.
Oh, the ACE. Yeah, all right.
So those are the six conferences that make up NCAA Division I men's ice hockey.
Put it in a trivia question. Actually, yeah, I have a very unrelated trivia question for you if you know your history. We're getting way off track here, but we don't have much else to talk about.
It's fine. Fire away.
So, all right. It's a two-parter. So, in World War II, on the invasion of Normandy, and this goes for everyone out there that's listening, how many beaches were there during the D-Day invasion?
Oh, I should know this.
And then also, can you name them? Little history lesson for all the kids out there.
I should know this because World War II is like my jam. And I was big into Band of Brothers and stuff like that when that came out. And I like read all the books and everything. Met some of the members before they passed away of Easy Company, humble brag.
Not a big deal.
Six beaches?
No.
Am I close?
You're right. You're at five.
At five, okay. I know, so there was obviously Omaha and Utah.
Uh-huh.
Gold.
Yes.
Sword and Juno.
There you go.
Boom, still got it.
There you go. Cool. Yeah, I actually I have these like this weird thing that I do when I'm responsibly drinking is I write like I think of like questions to ask people as like conversation starters. So I added that to my list of how many beaches were there during the invasion of Normandy? Can you name them? And I have the answers in quotation marks because I was at the World War II Museum in New Orleans, which was unreal. But like I saw like the list of all the beaches when I was going through the D-Day exhibit, and I was like, this seems like it would be a good trivia question to ask people.
Do you know what countries took part in the invasion? Like, yes, you know, it's the Allied forces, but what countries actually took part in the invasion?
On the
Operation Overlord.
Canada.
Yes.
United States.
Yes.
Great Britain.
Yes.
Not Italy.
No, I think. Yeah, I think that's it. Because most people forget.
Just three, right?
Yeah, it was just Canada, Great Britain, and us. But a lot of people forget that Canada was a part of the war, World War II.
Yep.
But anyway, we got way off track there.
That's all right.
We're a baseball tailgating World War II college hockey podcast.
Hey, it's what we did last week too. It's a mixed bag at this point.
Mixed bag part two. There's the episode title for this week.
In the words of the great Forrest Gump, we're like a box of chocolates at this point. You don't know what you're gonna get.
You never know what you're gonna get.
You could get a weather report. You could get baseball. I mean, just because we're a hockey podcast doesn't mean we can talk about we can't talk about other stuff.
We cover it all.
We have to be pertinent to the topics at hand.
Yes, you have to keep the people informed.
Exactly.
Members of the esteemed media. I say esteemed media in quotations.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we can.
I mean, you are.
I don't want to pull that card here. I don't humble brag here, but I don't want to do that. But yeah, I mean. It's just fun talking about stuff. We shoot the breeze, yes. Which is good.
Do you want to listen to us talk about the Flyers for 45 minutes to an hour with how bad they are this season? The answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, we're like I said, we're the ship has figuratively sailed at this point with the Flyers.
Yes.
But it is our journalistic duty that we have to talk about at least the two topics that we mentioned previously before we went on a tangent about other things. So again. Ronnie Adderd made his debut with the Flyers.
A couple games ago. We talked about that last podcast.
Yes.
But he did score his first career goal in Saturday's loss to the Anaheim Ducks.
Correct. So congrats to him. Actually, couple of my friends were actually hanging out with his parents at Xfinity Live after the game.
That's cool.
So a little like personal connection, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of thing where it's like, my friends were hanging out with Ronnie Adderd's parents.
Speaking of the other of the other Flyers' newest NCAA edition, Pod Street Hoags was at the championship college game up in Boston Saturday night, and apparently, he of course you know Hoagie can't resist himself, wore a Flyers pullover to Boston of the game. He was rooting for Bobby Brink, and apparently he walked past Bobby Brink's mom, who pointed out his Flyers pullover, and he like yelled something at her, like "Let's go, Bobby," or something like that. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just happening. I'm sure Hoagie was probably a few beverages deep as well. respectfully, he's a tasteful man. That one.
Yeah, actually, and we can't forget about Lou Nolan.
Lou Nolan. Can't forget about Lou Nolan.
So Lou Nolan, I mean, who doesn't know Lou Nolan as a Flyers fan? But if you don't know Lou Nolan, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, he has been with the Flyers, with the organization for 55 years, but has served most notably as their public address announcer for 50 years, which I believe is one of the longest tenures in all of sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's half a century in one job. Yeah.
Him and the Phillies PA announcer at Citizens Bank Park, Dan Baker, they both were at opening day for the Phillies because Dan Baker got honored that day. And Lou Nolan was like the MC, I believe.
Yes.
So that was cool. And then before the Ducks game on Saturday night, they did a whole tribute with Lou, his family. Jim Jackson and Steve Coates. Coatesy was definitely a little bit in one, I think.
He was a few Amstels deep there.
That was, I mean, I watched the ceremony in full the next day, and he was buzzing. It was great. But it was a really nice ceremony. The Flyers presented Lou Nolan with presented his wife with a nice bottle of wine, and then also his daughter-in-law and his wife with flowers. Presented Lou himself and his wife with a trip to Napa Valley, California. And then Lou was also presented with a nice, like, gold Flyers logo with a, like, inscription and then a gold microphone, which was cool. So, like, a really cool, like, award for his years of service. Also a team-signed jersey. So, I mean, it was a really good ceremony. And it was cool, too. Like, they showed the tribute video of, like, him. And you kind of wonder how you do a tribute video to a PA announcer because, like, he doesn't play. But they did a lot of cool, like, clips of him, like, being shown on the Jumbotron and stuff like that throughout the years. And just, I mean, he's been behind some iconic calls in the Wells Fargo Center, the Spectrum, all of that since the Flyers have been a thing. So it was cool to see that. And, I mean, it makes you a little emotional, too, because, like, he's all we've ever known when we go to Flyers games as the guy on the mic, so to speak. So it was cool to see, like, a different side of that and to see past Lou Nolan compared to now.
Yeah.
So all around a great tribute for one of the greatest PA announcers ever in sports, not just in hockey, but I think in sports.
Yeah, definitely. And Matt, I think you took everything out of you know, my mouth what I was going to say if I could speak today, Junior. But no, it's really great. Lou Nolan, he's a Philly staple. He should be in the Flyers Hall of Fame already. You have to assume he will be inducted next season into it. It is something weird and strange that you notice when you go to a Flyers game and if Lou is sick for some reason and they have the other Keith Jones doing the PA announcing duties, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And whenever Lou Nolan does move on, it's going to take some getting used to whoever is going to be the new Flyers PA announcer. Just like, you know, one day if Jim Jackson ever no longer stops being the Flyers TV play-by-play, that's going to be weird getting used to. They're just, you know, he's up in that list of iconic Philadelphia icons. And 50 years in one job is hella impressive.
Yeah. I mean, if I could do that for 50 years, that'd be sweet. But I don't have that capacity. I don't know. Moving on. That pretty much does it for the Flyers coverage, I think.
Well, besides, we briefly skimmed over the fact that the Flyers did sign Bobby Brink.
Yeah.
And, like, immediately after winning the national championship. Of course, we all know Bobby Brink, drafted in 2019, second round, 34th overall. 5'9", 163. He is a small, right-winging, offensive-minded, more so pass-than-shoot-first mentality. But he's an excellent playmaker. Won the national championship. Led the whole entire NCAA in scoring this past season. The dude is on pace to be like, the motions have been aligned for him to potentially, if he develops right, could be a star in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
But that needs to happen.
Yep.
So I think everyone's pretty hype about this. Each year since we drafted him, he's gotten better at the NCAA. And from what I've seen in highlights so far, he's looked like he's fit in on this Flyers roster. So I'm excited. Yeah. To watch a little bit more of him this season and then definitely see what he does in training camp and making the team next year.
Yeah, and I think also it's been tough. I would imagine it's a little bit tough on these guys kind of mentally where they obviously they're very excited about making their career debuts with the Flyers, but it's got to be tough knowing where like the state of the team at this point. And they believe me, they've earned this like with all the hard work they put in their whole lives and obviously being young kids, this is a dream come true for them. But I think it can be tough and maybe it's not, but like just again, the state of the team and kind of where they've been the past couple of years, past decade really. And it's like, I don't know if they feel pressure to make an immediate impact. I mean, it's always good to make an immediate impact, but it's like the way with how bad the team has been overall, just injuries, performance-wise, all that, it's like it's got to weigh on these young guys a little bit to come in and kind of, again, Philadelphia. I mean, we saw it with Alec Bohm the other night, which was awesome. But and I'll elaborate on that after I get my Flyers point across here. But, like, just again, a sports town like Philadelphia, everyone expects excellence from everyone right out of the gate, no matter what. And it's like we've talked so much, like, not smack, but we've talked about how good the Flyers prospect system has been and hopefully still is with guys like Brink, Addard, a couple other guys down the pipeline here. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they feel pressure to come in and immediately be ingratiated into good graces by the fans, or if they're just kind of like knowing that the team is bad. It's the final stretch here with only 8 games left, and they're just going to try and make their mark for now and just make a strong, even stronger return next season down the road, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Gotcha. But we can touch on, again, we'll go back. We're going to stray away from hockey again because this is just Philly sports at its peak, which was amazing. The other night in the Phillies-Mets game, Alec Bohm had himself a pretty rough night. I think he had 3 errors.
3 errors in all, like, 1 inning. Like, boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
But at one point, the Phillies got the 3rd out in one of the half innings, and Bohm was picked up on a camera, and you can read his lips. And this can be our 1 F-bomb for the episode. But you read his lips, and he said to, I forget who it was, but he was like, he said,
I think it was to Didi.
Yeah, he was like, I fucking hate this place. Like, and everyone was like, whoa. Like, did he really say that? And then, like, that was, like, the hot topic of the night where after the game, the Phillies ended up, that was when they came back and they ended up winning.
And he started the comeback.
Yeah.
Well, while he has not been good on the field, he has been great batting this year.
Yes. But the Phillies came back being down 4-0. They ended up winning, I think, what, 8-4, something like that?
No, I think, like, they won 5-4.
5-4. They yeah. Exploded, and it was the 8th inning. They had 5 runs, which ended up winning them the game.
And then Brad Hand came in and got a 1-2-3 save.
Yeah, so that was a very hype game. I'm glad I turned it on in the latter stages of it to see the comeback and such and such. But then after the game, the hot topic was, did Bohm really say what he said? And he straight up was like, yeah, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, yes, I said it. I love this city. I love the fans. But I was just frustrated and having a rough game.
He said, like, emotions got the best of me. I was having a rough game. He's like, I didn't mean it. The fans in the city, they just want to win. They just want to see us play well. So, like, I'm ready to move forward. And then everyone was like, yeah, kid, we get it. We've been there.
Yeah,
when you're stuck in traffic on 95 or 676 trying to get somewhere, I effing hate this place. Or when you have a rough day at work, you get in your car, you slam the door, I effing hate this place. Like, we get it. Yeah. That's the one thing that Philadelphia loves. If you're a struggling athlete or a struggling figure and you make yourself relatable to the fans, they're going to get behind you and they're going to want to root for you and do well.
Yeah.
Which is something maybe that Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz and Nolan Patrick all maybe could have learned. Yeah. But you know what? All 4 of those players didn't do. They didn't become relatable. And see you later.
Yep. Yeah, but then he also got a standing ovation last night.
At his
first at-bat against the Mets. So, I mean, just a cool like, couple nights for Bohm there, where it was like everyone was, like, pissed off at him, but then they were like, all right, well, this is cool. Like, this kid's cool. Like,
We got you, kid. Don't worry.
We love to hate our city at points, too. Like, yes. So, but I think, like, someone my brother sent me something where someone was already selling
The shirts are,
like,
even
merchandise with his phrase on it. Like, yes. I mean, it's pretty good. So,
yeah.
But that was a good, like, Philly sports moment that'll definitely be remembered for a long time. But with that being said, since we're on the topic of baseball, we'll again bring it into the dugout. And we'll go back to the rink for some more hockey, and we'll go around the league just briefly here, a few kind of housekeeping items to talk about. Again, we're kind of in that lull where we're going to have a lot of playoff clinching scenarios that are happening tonight, so on and so forth. But the playoffs don't start until the first week of May. So we still have 3 weeks or so to kind of get that squared away. We will have a playoffs preview show when all the matchups are determined. So stick around for that. But for now, again, like I said, we'll just go over kind of what we deem as newsworthy for this week. We'll start with we'll keep it in college hockey, if I can find the article. But actually, Dave, I'll let you take this one away. But Owen Power, he made his NHL debut on Tuesday. So he signed his ELC with the Buffalo Sabres. He was the first overall pick in this past draft. But he made his NHL debut on Tuesday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He did the classic solo rookie lap at Scotiabank Arena, the Maple Leafs Arena, and was warmly welcomed by NHL fans, according to NHL.com. His parents were in attendance, and I mean, it's just his family was all there too, so it was just a good night for a good kid and a good prospect. He was the number one overall pick in the 2021 draft, signed with the Sabres on the 8th, just over a week ago. And then one day after Michigan lost against Denver in the Frozen Four. But yeah, I mean, great flow. The kid's definitely got potential to be a good defenseman and definitely help the Sabres get out of their 11-year playoff drought.
I mean, yeah, the Sabres are hoping that Owen Power is as advertised and is a franchise-altering defenseman. And they're hoping that he can play on a same pairing with Rask and Staalin. So then you've got two potential franchise-level defensemen to build your team around. And, you know, he's another good piece to add to the team, and it's a good signing for the Sabres. You know, they've got a nice pool of prospects, and I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm keeping my eye on the Sabres. I think they could turn around sooner than not up in New York.
I agree. But moving from Buffalo all the way out to Seattle, but we're going to stay in the Michigan realm for college.
Yes.
We have another Michigan alumni that signed with the Kraken on April 10th, just 4 days ago. 19-year-old Matty Beniers, who was the number two overall pick in this past draft. He signed 3 days after losing in the NCAA Frozen Four with Michigan, again, a teammate of Powers. He made his debut on Tuesday as well. He was actually the first selection in Kraken history, and did his rookie lap before the game. And let's see, did he do anything? No. He did not do anything. I mean, again, a promising young talent for Seattle. I think it's kind of interesting to see what will happen with him, because Seattle has a plethora of draft picks that they got at the trade deadline.
Yep.
So they might be wheeling and dealing a lot this offseason. I don't know if they would give up a guy like Beniers, but you never know. For the right price for an expansion team, you'll kind of see like kind of what happens.
Yeah, and sticking to the college news too, the NCAA's longest, the winningest coach in NCAA men's ice hockey retired in Jerry York of Boston College the other day.
Yep.
That was on your cue, Mastro, if I stole your thunder there, but I saw it. Ooh, got to bring that up. But yeah, winningest
it's
coach.
It's a team effort.
It is. 76 years old, and he's the winningest coach in NCAA hockey history. Five-time NCAA champion, and he, of course, is a Hockey Hall of Famer. And he's just looking forward to retiring, spend more time with his wife and play golf, and more time with his family. You know, he was not only, besides in the Hockey Hall of Fame, he's in the United States Hockey Hall of Fame, and he has coached over 17 first-round picks over his tenure with Boston College. So congrats on a hell of a career to Jerry York, and happy retirement.
Very well said. I don't really have anything else to add to that because that's just kind of how it is. But I agree. Good luck in your retirement, coach. And I'm sure we'll see you around the rink.
His all-time record is crazy. So he coached for 50 seasons. He coached at Clarkson, Bowling Green, and then Boston College. He won championships. He won one with Bowling Green and then four at BC. He has 1,123 wins, 682 losses, and 128 ties. That is a hell of a record.
That's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you don't see guys stick around like that. So congrats to him. And, again, best of luck in retirement. Moving on, back to the NHL after we have our little college hockey segment. I know, Dave, you have thoughts on this and some meh news that came out yesterday. Actually, earlier today. Or yesterday, whatever. Yesterday, today, same type of thing. But it was announced that the 2023 Winter Classic will be played at Fenway Park with the Boston Bruins taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is the first time that a venue will repeat as the host of the New Year's Day game. Obviously, the last time there was a game at Fenway, the Flyers lost in overtime to the Bruins 2-1. But I mean, that was a great game. The Flyers just kind of obviously OT like loser, can't really do much about that. But I'll give you the stats here, and then Dave, I'll throw it to you because I know you have thoughts. But this will be the Penguins playing in their third Winter Classic and sixth outdoor game, and it'll also be the Bruins' fifth NHL outdoor game and fourth Winter Classic. This is also the 36th outdoor game that the NHL will play. So I'll just kind of, again, I'll throw it over to you first because then I'm sure we'll have the same type of thoughts here. But, Dave, take it away.
I'm just bored with the Winter Classic at this point. I'm bored with outdoor games from the NHL. Like, they're recycling the same damn teams every year. Like at least this year and a couple of years ago, like they had like Nashville and Tampa, you know, they had Dallas and Nashville a couple of years ago. Like they finally started to throw some different teams in there. Then they go back to Boston and Pittsburgh, and at Fenway again, like cool. But I have literally zero desire to watch that game because like honestly, I'll probably turn it on anyway, but, like, I'm not going to watch the whole thing because it's like, who cares? Like, I've seen both these teams play in a plethora amount of outdoor NHL games, and it's not special. There are double digits in other teams. You know, there are, you know, 34 – no, I'm begging my pardon. There are 30 other teams. There are 32 NHL teams, correct, this year. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's 32. So there's 30 other teams. And like, yes, that just and to address Boston and Pittsburgh fans, like, oh, you're only bitching and moaning because it's the Penguins and Bruins and you're a Flyers fan. I don't want the Flyers to be another one. The Flyers have been in, I mean, granted, they've only been in four outdoor games, two same series and two Winter Classics. To me, that's enough. Like, okay, cool. You did it at Citizens Bank Park. You did it at the Link, you did it at Fenway, and you did it out in Pittsburgh at their whatever yellow stadium on a crappy river, whatever. As I offend all those Yinzers, I don't care. like they've done enough. There are plenty of other teams that the NHL can go with and try and have in these games. Like repeating the same team. Like I get like there's stars on these teams, but there are plenty of other teams that have stars that you could use. You know, a highlight.
Well, I think it's also tough because, like, I don't know, because, like, you want to obviously have, I mean, if you're the NHL, obviously you want to make as much money as you can. I think having the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic almost kind of hamstrings the league where, I mean, there's rivalries between, let's say, I don't know. Like, if you did an original six matchup with, like, I'm trying to think, like Toronto and Boston in a Winter Classic, like, I don't think they've played each other in an outdoor game yet. You have to fact check me on that, but I don't think they have.
Not outside. No, I don't think so.
The Heritage Classic has been exclusively Canadian teams.
Except for this year.
Except for this year when it was Toronto and Buffalo. But, like, Toronto and Buffalo isn't really there's no rivalry there.
There's a long-time rivalry there, man. You are mistaken.
Sorry.
Don't let Dwayne from Buffalo hear you say that take. I know he follows me on Twitter. But, no, the Leafs and Sabres, dude, that is some mega bad blood.
I rescind my statement. I'll take my walk of shame like Game of Thrones. But yeah, I mean, I think that the NHL is trying to market their teams as best they can, but they have to do a better job of kind of keeping that exclusivity where, I mean, again, it takes away the speciality of the game when there's three outdoor games a year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If the Winter Classic was just a thing every year, like that would be.
It was the one game, like it used to be.
Yeah, but it's like the other games don't even really matter, and especially the Winter Classic. There were like what 10 other games on the same day as the Winter Classic this year.
Yeah, like I remember in years past, the Winter Classic was the only hockey game on. It was the one game on New Year's Day.
And maybe that's because of COVID, and I don't know, but it's like. If it's not, then that's a dumb decision by the league. Like, your biggest game of the year, one of your biggest games of the year, obviously you have
your biggest regular season game of the year.
But it's also probably the biggest casual fan game of the year, where it's like, oh, there's an outdoor hockey game on. Like, let's just turn it on for, like, I guess I can say this, turn it on for, like, shits and giggles. Like, you're taking away from your own product if you're having other ones for people to pay attention to.
And especially like, other games happening at the same time as the Winter Classic or any outdoor game, which is what they had happen this year.
Exactly. Like, and again, like the Stadium Series games. Sorry.
Mixing the water, my man.
Yeah. My allergies are killing me. But, yeah, I mean, like, the Stadium Series games, they're also cool, like Nashville, and then also there was the other one. Was that the only Stadium Series game this year?
Yeah, it was just Nashville and Tampa, then the Heritage Classic was Toronto and Buffalo, and then that was the Heritage Classic, and the Winter Classic was St. Louis and Minnesota.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, again, I think there's only so many places that you can play these games. As we're seeing now with the return to Fenway Park, venues are being recycled. We've already seen it with other Stadium Series games and stuff like that. We're going to see opponents recycled as well. But I think it would almost be wise to kind of see other avenues where it's like, I understand they want to make things exclusive to Canada or exclusive to the United States, but it's like Toronto and Boston in a Winter Classic. I mean, we had Toronto and Detroit in the Winter Classic at
the Big Stadium, House,
which was awesome. Like,
it was snowing.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Like,
so I mean, there's other options and other matchups with teams, but I don't know. I mean,
they also need to bring back they need to bring back HBO 24/7 for the Winter Classic. No more of this like filtered, watered down, you know, TNT or NHL and NBC or NHL Network series. You need to go back to being full explicit on HBO.
Say, we just want to hear them say the F word.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's something where it's like us as like hardcore fans, like we're, like you said, we'll turn it on, we'll watch it just to kind of see what the spectacle is like. And then that's pretty much it. Like Boston and Pittsburgh, hopefully both teams lose. Like that's kind of my reaction to that. So, but yeah, I mean, that's just kind of, again, the announcement. And we'll just wait until New Year's Day, I guess. And
yeah,
we'll watch Pittsburgh and Boston play each other. Like, awesome. So, but our second to last topic before we get into our usual random player of the week. I don't know if you have one ready, Dave.
I'll come up with one. Don't you worry.
But we have some funny lighthearted subject to talk about. The other night in Edmonton. Yes. I don't know
why. No, it was in Minnesota.
Was it in Minnesota?
It was in Minnesota. Right.
They have a picture here of him in Nashville, so I got confused. I'm like, wait, I'm pretty sure it happened against the Oilers. Yeah, so in Edmonton, or in Minnesota, sorry, forward Ryan Hartman on the Wild and Oilers forward Evander Kane got into a scruff and then were pulled apart. And then as they were kind of going their separate ways, courtesy of the referees, Ryan Hartman flipped the bird at Evander Kane. And it was caught on the camera, and it was the greatest thing ever because so many people hate Evander Kane for what he has done in the past and all that stuff. But for some reason, I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but Hartman was fined a very specific amount of $4,250 for his actions for unsportsmanlike conduct during the game on Tuesday. He was assessed for a minor penalty for roughing as well as a 10-minute misconduct for giving Evander Kane the old middle finger, which was pretty funny. But then it came to light today that Evander Kane's ex-wife Venmoed Ryan Hartman money to help pay for his fine. So, I mean, we've gone like full WWE here where it's like, we're just kind of seeing, like, again, Evander Kane is like the guy that everyone loves to hate. And it's just like funny, like Ryan Hartman is all of us, where like he just kind of flipped off Kane and was like gave him the big F you. And it was just funny to see.
Yeah. It's just like I tweeted this out yesterday when the news broke. I'm like, this shouldn't have even been a fine. The players say and do worse things to each other in scrums during play than giving each other the bird. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what really was the point of this fine? Like, and of course, not only, I don't know if you mentioned Evander Kane's ex-wife, but a bunch of Minnesota Wild fans were making Venmo donations to him, too. And he said he's going to pay the fine with his own money, but anyone who wants to Venmo him, he's going to donate to Minnesota Children's Hospitals. So Yeah. That is cool. And I don't know if I zoned out for a second and you said all that already. I apologize.
No, you're good. I just kind of zoned out there too. Sorry.
No, it's all good. But I mean, you love to see it. It shouldn't have been a fine. And I like how he's taken the positive energy of him getting fined and people Venmoing him and donating it to kids' hospitals.
Yeah.
That's a power move.
You can make something good out of something bad, even exactly. Though, again, if you're not a professional athlete and a public figure, flipping someone off isn't really anything bad nowadays. But when it's caught on camera and millions of people are watching it, you should probably do something about it.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, sorry. Definitely going to have to mix in a water after this. My throat's killing me.
Maybe some Zyrtec.
But... moving on, Dave, to our last topic of discussion for tonight, our usual weekly name a player.
Yes.
Do you have anyone on tap?
I'm ready to go.
I will let you go first then. So whenever you're ready, sir.
This player is a Flyers legend. And by I mean legend, he played one season here for the Philadelphia Flyers. Just one. And I first got introduced to this player via... NHL 2K5.
Oh.
Right winger, drafted in round 3, number 93 overall in the 1999 entry draft by the Colorado Avalanche, Branko Radivojević.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a name there. Slovakian-born player. He played one season for the Flyers. Actually, my mistake, he played two seasons for the Flyers in 2003-2004 and 2005-2006. In 03-04, he was a trade acquisition for the Phoenix Coyotes, in which for the Flyers in 24 games, he had 9 points, 1 goal, and 8 assists with 36 penalty minutes. And then the following season in 05-06, after the lockout there, In 64 games, he had 14 points, 8 goals, and 6 assists, and 44 penalty minutes. Went on after that to play for 2 years for the Minnesota Wild, and then spent the rest of his career a decade over in Europe, playing in the KHL, the Slovak, and the Czech leagues. He played a total of 393 NHL games for 52 goals, 68 assists, and 120 points, along with 252 penalty minutes. He did play in 31 NHL playoff games, registering 3 points, 2 goals, 1 assist, and 36 penalty minutes. So Branko Radivojevic is my random player of the week.
Sounds good. I'm going to go, let's see. Who was I going to go with? I had him on the name on my tip of my tongue. Give me a minute here. Sorry, I had two options and I lost both of them because my here we go. I'm going to go with Nick Antropov.
Nick Antropov. Okay.
So if you don't know Nick Antropov, he is currently look like he is not playing right now. Wait, let me check. I'm on his Wikipedia page.
Go to HockeyDB.
Career stats. He last played, according to Wikipedia, in 2014-15 in the KHL.
I got it here. Yeah, 2014-2015 for Astana Bjaris.
Yeah. But in the NHL, he played most notably with the Atlanta Thrashers for 2 seasons. That's where I first heard of him. Actually, and then he was also on the Maple Leafs for a handful of seasons as well.
He had some good seasons with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the NHL, he was with the Maple Leafs, the Rangers, and the Thrashers. Also, the Winnipeg Jets for parts of 2 separate seasons. He played right for them.
Right after they relocated from Atlanta.
Yes. So, yeah, Nick Antropov, he's from Kazakhstan, it looks like.
A bit of nice.
So, yeah. But Nick Antropov, so all the teams he's played for, Dynamo Moscow, the Maple Leafs, AK Bars Kazan, Lokomotiv Yaroslavl, the New York Rangers, Atlanta Thrashers, Winnipeg Jets, and the Baris Astana. Drafted 10th overall in 1998 by the Toronto Maple Leafs and played from 96 to 2015. So Nick Antropov, I think he wore, didn't he wear like the silver like reflective visor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and he wore really, like all Reebok gear.
Yep.
In like their heyday of Reebok gear.
Yep. So
pretty I'm sure he rocked an O stick. Do you remember the O stick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. I'm gonna go with him for this week.
This is another solid we both took Eastern European players this week.
Yeah. So there's always some good names in Eastern Europe. I mean, there's so many out there that like I'll be randomly like I just thought of another guy. I don't think I've said him yet. He's a former Flyer. I'll save it for another time, but like I'll legit just be randomly going around and without like throughout my day and I'll be like, huh, like to myself, I'll just be like, I remember this guy. Like just randomly think of like when I said, I think it was last week when I did Mika Purella, like I thought of him just randomly and then like texted my friends and I was like, you guys remember Mika Purella? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, like he played like half a season with the Flyers and half a season with the Phantoms. Like, it's just like crazy stuff like that where I'll just randomly like some name will pop into my head. I'll be like, oh, like I remember that guy.
Oscars Bartulis.
Yeah, we don't want to. We gotta save some because, like, I mean, it's easiest to go to Flyers from the past. But you want to also again, we need to stick with our worldly hockey views.
Yes, yes.
And try and name guys from other teams and stuff like that. So, but it is. I think it's fun, and hopefully the people listening enjoy it. But Dave, I think that just about does it for this week. Again, another mixed bag of a week, but that's what you get when the Flyers are just completely just
dreadful.
Again, yeah. So We will, again, we'll see what happens this next week with the Flyers. Maybe some more notable type stuff will happen with the new guys or the old guys, who knows. But for now, that does it for this week. And again, Dave, as usual, I will let you take her home.
Yes, yes. Want to give a quick shout out to our brothers and affiliate pod and the Pod Street Bullies. Make sure if you aren't listening to them that you do so. Some really quality content coming over there from their airwaves recently. And always a big thank you to our current listeners. Yeah, the fact that you've stuck with us this long and listened to us ramble on the Flyers, that means you are a real one. Because, man, we're barely paying attention to the Flyers at this point. It's like, let me tune in just for a couple minutes, and then, okay, I'm out. Like, I'm out, man.
We're basically, like, at that. It's that cat poster at this point. Like, hang in there, baby. Like, yes. With the cat hanging on the wire. Like, that's us. Like, but
we've
we're
got
also
8 games left.
Yeah, so.
I'm just hoping Bobby Brink, like, scores his first goal. Like, that'd be cool to see.
I just
want the kids to play well. Call up the kids, you know. Sit yep. If someone's injured, sit him down. Like, I don't want to see Carter Hart for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
I don't want to see Carter Hart till next training camp. Like, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
But with that, hockey fans and Flyers fans, cheer up, sunny side. Keep that sunny side egg. I don't know what I was going for with that saying. I was
keep
trying
on
to think
the sunny side
of life. There we go. Yeah, there we go. It all works out. Thank you for the assist there, Matt. Yeah, 8 games left, power through it, and then you get to the best time of year, the NHL playoffs, where it is absolutely fantastic time. So with that, thank you for listening. Good night and good hockey.